Hey guys, it's Alex.
And Ariana. Together, we co-host a brand new podcast
called Skinny Time.
Join us as we discuss the lives of our friends and family every Thursday and Friday.
And learn more about them that we never knew. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast. Hey guys, it's Alex and Ariana.
Hi guys.
And we have a new guest today. His name is Garrett.
Hello.
Hello, Garrett. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and everything?
Okay, so I'm Garrett. I'm from California. I'm 19 years old. I'm living in Los Angeles on my own as an actor, trying to become an influencer through like TikTok and stuff. But I've been in the acting industry since I was in fourth grade. So it's been a wild ride, and I have a lot crazy stories because LA is pretty wild. So
growing up being an actor, we love that.
Yes.
We love that. So how was the whole experience? How was the whole experience moving to California? And like, when did you move to California by yourself?
So that's a good question. So I actually was raised in California. I grew up here. I was born in California, but about like 6 or 7 months ago, my family was like, you know what? We're going to get up and move to Ohio. And I was like, that just ain't it for me. I'm not about country farm life.
I'm okay with that. I would have stayed where
I've been to Ohio. It's not bad. I mean, we went there like on a road trip because I think our cousins
were not there. Not horrible, but definitely not LA.
Ohio State. Yeah.
I think Indiana has the more the crops and stuff. I mean, the farm.
Yeah.
Life.
So
Indiana.
I decided just to stay in LA, and I just found a room for rent, and I made it work, which is probably one of the most scariest leap of faith situations you can go
I could never live on my own. I'm scared. Like,
oh, it's terrifying.
Paying bills. Like, this is what we're not learning in school. We're not learning how to pay mortgage, do taxes, any of this stuff.
And not at all.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
I purposely took a class like that just so I could be ready for life. Like, I know how to write my own checks now because of that.
I'll move in with Ariana. It's okay.
I love that.
I'll be your supporter. It's okay.
Yeah.
Do you live in an apartment or like a house complex? Like, what is it?
So it's actually pretty funny. So when I had about like a week to figure out how to move out of my house, where to go. And one of my friends from a show that I did, Sister Act, which is a great musical, she offered one of her bedrooms in her house. And I was like, yes, of course. I didn't ask any questions. And I moved in. And what she didn't tell me was that it was an 8-year-old's bedroom with Barbie dolls everywhere. Like, bed sheets were like, oh my God, McStuffins, Doc McStuffins, I think.
Oh my God. Someone lived there.
Actual child's bedroom, and her child just moved into her bedroom. And so I paid rent for about like 7 months just sleeping in the little girl's room. Finally, now I live in the place I live now, and it's like a whole house, and it's like a really nice giant room. But that was such an experience.
So, like, you have your own house, or
no? So I have housemates. I have a
okay, yeah. It's like one of those houses where other people live as well, but like,
exactly, it's like
not all related.
Oh, so wait. So it's you all pay collectively for the room that you live in.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like dorming.
Got it.
It's like a dorm, but like for not college. It's like a dorm house, but not for college in a way. It's
exactly.
Basically your friends just live in a house, but you all have to pay rent. It's like if you lived in an apartment, but like a group of friends lived in an apartment, but as a house, like just a house looking. So
exactly, yes. Essentially, it's just like a huge dorm, but on people of different stages of life.
Is it just you? Like, who else lives there? Is it just you or some of your friends?
So it's just me right now. So it's a married couple, me, and then they're probably going to be doing some interviews for other humans. So I'm very excited.
Divorce
other?
Other humans, yes. I'm very excited. But right now, like, they have two dogs of their own, but we're, like, raising 6 puppies right now, like, newborn puppies.
I love dogs.
I think they're about, like, a week and a half old right now. So their eyes are just starting to open. They're so adorable. I'm so happy.
That makes my heart so warm. So what is it like living with somebody that you're not related to in quarantine? Like,
that's a really funny question. So at first, it's a lot about like respecting each other's boundaries. At first, when it all first happened, I was going out partying, clubbing, going out a lot, which that's my lifestyle. But since quarantine, it was a full 180 of like stay indoors because she has an autoimmune disease and I didn't want to put her at risk. So she's definitely high risk. So I haven't gone outside like at all, unless it's like a little hike or something. But yeah, so it went from a full 180, because you have to respect each other's boundaries, because it's not like blood. It's like you're two humans on different stages of life respecting each other in a household. So I think that was a really cool factor of like having to like, all right, Garrett, from going from out there, outdoors, outside, partying every day to just trap like Rapunzel. So
did you like get to know them closer? Like, did you guys get to know each other better? So now you know like what their life is like, why they decide to move into a house with bitches.
For
like...
sure. It was a little hard because they're at a different stage in life. So they're like in their 30s and I'm definitely 19 years old. So there's a little bit of like a gap.
You look 20 though.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. One age here.
So wow. I felt like there's like a little bit of a gap, but like we just got really closer with through like family dinners or like teaching each other how to like do certain things or TikTok. Like I taught them how to do TikTok.
Oh my God.
That's great.
Yeah.
Renegade.
I would think about like what happens if I were to be trapped with my grandparents or like, because I live at a house of 5 people and it's great. Don't get me wrong. 6. My family's fantastic, but I just genuinely couldn't imagine living with somebody that I like wasn't related to, you know? And like, and I feel like that a lot of people who lived with their friends at college had to go home. And I genuinely didn't really understood the whole like factor of leaving and whatever, but I think that's really cool actually, the fact that like you live with somebody that you're not blood related to, but you still respect their boundaries, which I think is very nice of you to do so, because like, you could have been like, that's my life.
It's definitely a weird transition, because you go from, you know, being around your family, well, you're openly like fart in front of them, and then like now, like I still openly fart in front of them, but it's just a little bit weirder. So you know,
when you're like an adult, like 21, whatever, do you have any plans to like get your own house, maybe like get a house with your friends, or like stay in this like complex with the other people?
That's a very daunting question. I feel like that's my goal, is to move in with either my friends, because a lot of my friends, like living in LA, it's very, very expensive.
It's hot.
It's hot. It's insane. It's truly insane. So,
but at least it's dry heat. Up here, it's humid.
Okay, but today, today it's a disgustingly hot. Like,
it's 80 degrees, and I'm sticky.
I haven't been outside. I'm trying to avoid going outside because it looks like it'd be scorching.
Mother
outside.
Gothel will like whip your ass. Should I get back in there, sweetie? No. Why would today be a different day to go outside back inside than the other day?
Mother knows best.
Yes. But I think, my goal is definitely to move in into a house with a couple of my friends, because moving in to a house by myself is probably nearly impossible, being an actor. But moving in with, like, a boyfriend or friends would be ideal, hopefully.
Like, Glee, basically your life would become Glee. You would give it, like, Rachel Berry, go audition for Funny Girl.
100%.
Yeah, I definitely could see you as Fanny Bryce.
Yes, with my big Jewish
name. Gary Bryce, that's what it is.
Yes, Rachel Berry.
What's your, like, aesthetic, in a way? Like, for decorating, like, if you, like, when you get your own house, like, when you plan to, what is your overall vision of what you want your house to look like? What color do you want it? What type of rooms do you want? Like, what's the style you're going for?
Gosh, okay. Oh my goodness. I'm a very bright personality. Like, I think colorful when I think of myself. So I'd like minimalist.
I agree.
Flashes of pop color everywhere.
I guess you're like a pastel person in a way.
Yes, like a soft color, but very rainbowy around the house, I feel.
You're giving me yellow vibes. Like, yellow's your color.
Your color.
Yes, jaundice.
I love yellow. It's my favorite color besides pastel pink. So,
Sister Sunshine.
We love that. Sister Sunshine. What is the hardest thing about not having your own, like, exact living space? Like, just to have, like, free range, but, like, you know, like, what is it like to not have to, like, what is it like to share? Like, a room. Like,
share. So, there's definitely things that you need to, like, that I had to learn, because I used to just go into the pantry and grab whatever I wanted at my old house with my family. But now that's not the case. Like, you got to buy your own groceries and you go in, like, you can't just, like, use their butter. Like, things that you didn't even think about before. Like, you just can't grab someone's butter and start using it because they paid for it. So, like, it's sharing is a little different. And, like, I have my own bathroom, thank God. Gee bless. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. Sharing, it's comes naturally because I feel like humans, as much as they are selfish, I feel like they are also very giving and, like, supportive. So, it's pretty easy to transition.
I'm supportive, but I'm also a bitch. So, if I lived in a house with my friends, they would be like, are you paying for the next month's rent? And I'll be like, why is that even a question? Like, you know I'm going to say no. You're paying for me, sweeties. This is how it is. I live. You pay for me. End of story. What is
I breathe, you pay. There's no issue.
I live, you pay. End of story. Goodbye. I'm sleeping.
That's how this works.
But like, did you not know?
What's some advice you can give someone who's maybe starting to slowly transition to living on their own? Maybe living.
Yeah, like college students, like almost graduate college students.
I'm scared to dorm. Like,
oh God.
So I'm not. I'm excited.
It's definitely scary, but I think that leap of faith, just like that first step off into your own, like you have to do it. Like, you have to reach out to people you know. Also, like, I've gotten a lot of help from friends and family, which is wonderful. But I think, like, the biggest thing is, like, while you are living under your parents' roof or whoever you live with, I think you need to, like, not in a selfish way, but, like, take advantage of it. Like, definitely don't take it for granted. Like, every meal you can get, take it.
Eat it.
Things are expensive, honey. You really need to.
Food's not cheap.
You have to take, like, a mile to go to, like, the washing machine in whatever place you're in going to college. Like, one time when I was with my. When my sister was at college, one day, it was, like, the week we came to visit because it was her last week. Like,
family week!
That too, no, but it was, like, the last week she was staying because she was leaving because she already graduated, like, the week, like, the day before. So, this was, like, the next 2 days of her, okay, I need to move out and get everything, and we have to drive home. So, the last day, the night before we actually get everything in the car and leave, I slept, on a mattress in the room that she was staying. It was small. It was like a really small complex, but I definitely can see in a way how it could be a little bit hard because literally when we had to go to like get the laundry clean one, we literally had to walk a mile because it was like in a building somewhere else. And I was like, what is this place?
Yeah. No, it's definitely college campus life is definitely so much different. A lot of things come with it. And that's another thing that I haven't really had to like, I'm luckily am housemate, so I don't share my room. I have my own room, but I think roommates, like as in a dorm mate, is so scary to me.
I'm gonna be like, I don't know what they're gonna do. I'm gonna be like, can I have my own bedroom? Because you don't know what I do, like how I go to bed. I don't know what exactly. I do in my own free time. Like, you don't want to know.
I have the fear of being alone, so I have to have somebody in a room with me, like especially at college. I purposely asked to not be put in a single because if not, I would have anxiety attacks every day.
I would definitely want to have a roommate for college, but living on my own, no thank you.
Living on my own is a little scary. Also, there's some situations, like I'm a huge horror movie buff. So like I'll be walking downstairs just to go get like a little goldfish snack or something. And I'm like looking outside into the darkness and I'm like, oh hell no. So I like run back upstairs.
You don't know what's on the end of the street. Like
exactly.
I do that anyways. I do that anyway because I'm a little biatch.
Love
it's
that.
It's whatever.
Tell us about acting.
My acting. Oh my gosh. Where do we start with that though?
There's everywhere. The beginning.
The beginning. Oh my God. The beginning.
So the beginning when God created the world.
So Adam Eve. No, so I started acting when I was in, well, actually, so my sister Haley, she started when she was in, so there was like an after school program where we could do musicals every year in elementary school. You could start at fourth grade. She's 3 years older than me, so I was in first grade when she started. And I was there every day watching her rehearse and stuff. And by the time it got to fourth grade for me, I was like obsessed with theater.
What was
so
the show?
I watched my sister do, you know, Into the Woods, yada, yada, yada. And I auditioned for Beauty and the Beast, which has such a special place in my heart because I got cast as Chip. And it was the funniest thing. Oh my gosh, there's this famous picture of me that blew up online. But it's of me in my styrofoam costume. Oh my and I look God. So depressed. It's the funniest thing on earth. I just I don't want to be on stage. But that's where it all started. And since then, I just started doing
I need that picture, like ASAP. Oh
When I did Beauty and the Beast, like for a community theater, because I did Beauty and the Beast, there's multiple show. There's some shows that I've done multiple times, like Once Upon a Mattress, Anything Goes, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Anything Goes.
The first time I did Beauty and the Beast was my school's middle school production, which was disgusting. Too many fucking people, like, too many freaking people. But the second time I did it was a community theater that we did, but like I barely did some of the shows because I was just like young at that age, so I was just ensemble. But then I had to actually audition that time, and I surprisingly got chipped. I was like, okay, I did not sound good at it. And so when I got it, I was in a box and it had like the flap thing, because there's so many different ways you could do chip, and the hole was literally like 1 centimeter like of space around my neck, and I was like, okay, I can do this. I look like I'm decapitated. And what do they do next? They make the hole even bigger. And here's the problem: the head was supposed to go here, like on top of it, and have sticks that it can hold underneath, so yeah. I can like turn almost like
move
like a mask thing. But they decide, oh, the sticks aren't working. Whoopsies. So with the hole being super big now. And this
your thing, face was falling forward?
No, here's the thing. They put a pool tubing on the bottom edges of it so it wouldn't like cut me. I'm like, what is this?
Like a pool noodle?
Yes, and here's the thing. There was no way to hold it because there was no one to hold it underneath. So I had to use my two fingers, hold them like here, because the holes were like right in front of me like this. So I had you can literally see me holding my fingers like this. And it was like leaning forward a little bit, so when you turn around, you can see it lifting up.
Oh my god!
This is like the box. This is like
that's hysterical.
It was like up here, so I was like this, and I tried to do my child voice, but when I listen to the recording, I sound like an adult. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Oh my god, what a mess!
Wait, you played chip too, right?
Garrett,
oh my god, that's hysterical.
And so did that. Wait, like that was later.
I was actually nobody. So you know those that fat lady in the beginning who's holding like baskets, whatnot in the beginning? Yeah, I was one of those people. I literally played the candle bitch.
The villagers.
Oh, I was one of the main villagers too.
I've done the show three times. And the first time I played Chip. The second time I played Boy Babette, which is normally a female character. So it was very fun. It was interesting.
I want to see that. I would love to see a male Babette.
You know? Right. It was very fun. And then the third time I played the young prince at the beginning who gets turned into the beast. So it was my shining moment.
And then what were like some of your big roles when growing up? Like what were some of your biggest roles?
Growing up. So as a kid, those 3 years of elementary school, I played Chip, and then the next year we did Annie, and I played Rooster, which was so odd because I was the youngest, little like most petite, squeaky voice trying to be this character. And then I played Charlie in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
which was such a magical
experience as like a sixth grader. Like that was such a magical.
The set for that show is probably the most confusing and also difficult one to do because there's no easy way to do that set. Like you have to.
Oh, it's not. We had to make carameled apples every night to put on the trees so we could eat them, because you know how like the whole universe is supposed to be edible. So we had carameled apples dangling from these little like styrofoam trees, and I like bite into it and it'd be the ickiest thing. It was always a fun time. And then I eventually, like when I got to high school, I stopped doing theater, and then I quit actually for a little bit. Because I didn't make it into my high school productions, and I thought that was like a sign to just be like, let me stop. And then one day, me and my mom, it was in the morning, we were driving past a small community theater in my area, and there was a Gilligan's Island, which is a sitcom from the 60s, audition for the musical version at the local theater, and she was like, you'd be such a cute Gilligan. And I was like, no, what?
They made that into a musical?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So I went in, I was like, you know what, pull over. And she's like, wait, what? I was like, pull over, I'm gonna go audition. So I literally walked in on the spot, and, you know, I performed a song that I just had in my book that I just kind of knew just from listening to it over and over again with a little MP3 file on my iPhone.
Iconic.
And wasn't expecting anything of it. That night, I get a call back. The next day, I go in against 18 other guys and was like, oh, there's no way. There's no way. And then the next day they called me back for another callback, and I walked in and I was like, where are all the Gilligans? And they're like, you are Gilligan. So that was probably the most magical experience of my entire life. It was
so cute. Congrats.
Thank you. So
the emotion in that one, Ariana? You were like, yay, congrats.
Thanks. Seriously.
No worries. It was definitely a really fun experience to just like, you almost gave up. And that's why you don't give up, because you never know. If I had given up, I wouldn't be.
Sweetie.
So.
It is easier to give up and quit than it is to succeed.
Agreed.
And that's the thing that people need to learn. You know?
Yeah. The amount of times I've heard no is unbelievable, but the amount of times that I've heard yes make up for all the no's. So.
Didn't you get cast as Pippin recently?
Yes. So I was in Pippin, but unfortunately it was canceled. Coronavirus. We actually
she set other plans.
We went online with it, so that was a mess.
I did Pippin over the summer.
Yes.
When Escape the Night was coming out, the trashy season 4 one. I was, apparently the director called it one of the courtesans, but I was one of the twins.
Got it.
I was like, you're going to call me a whore, basically. You're calling me a whore.
I mean, I'm down for it. I've heard on stage all the time.
But no, we did the Manson Trio. It was really fun. I do this one crazy acrobat like move thing where it's a weird like swing around. I don't know, it was some dangerous acts because here's the thing, the ending made no sense because we were wearing like type of clown makeup. Like we had a colored wig, white face. I did some of the makeup. Like we picked a symbol. So me and my twin, we did a black diamond, a bling one, the one that has like a curvy edges. And here's the thing. In the end, it's exposed that, this is not really magic. It's all just a production and whatnot. And then I take the clothes off and you see it's all like a whole set and thing.
Yeah.
What our director made it seem is like we're dead. And I was like, So you're saying basically each and every one of us as a past performer, as the players, died and became part of the circus act, and now we're supposed to be known as a dead person. I'm like, what is this ending? And we didn't do bows. We walked out of the theater, and I was like, this is a confusing ending. It made no sense.
Pippin's very confusing, but I honestly...
It's fun. I liked it.
We played it kind of a similar way, that as each player, we've played the role of Pippin before.
Yeah, that's how it's basically...
When we jumped into the fire, we became part of the circus. So that is kind of the storyline, but it's very strange because people in the audience don't really get it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of just like,
our audience. They were like sitting, they were just staring, waiting for someone to bow. And I think someone got up and they were like, the show's not over. I'm like, do you see anyone coming out?
That's so funny. Yeah, it's definitely a strange show.
It's the ending that makes no sense because it's like you have to piece it's like there's so many small details that you miss in the show, and like that's why you have to see the show like 2 or 3 times until you like, here's the plot line. Pippin is new. Everyone has done this before. That's why they're having a difficulty with him because he's not listening to the
exactly.
It's almost like an autopilot like routine where it's like if you mess up the routine, everything's gonna get screwed up. That's mm-hmm. what it kind mm-hmm. of is. And then they realize that with Catherine being in, she decides to change her style because she's like, you know what? I don't need to listen to everyone. I'm my own person. And so that's the thing. I think that's what a lot of people didn't really understand when they first see Pippin, because they're like, wait, what's this story? I thought it was like a guy who's new and everything. But mm-hmm. I think it's the ending that makes people be like, what is this about?
Yes. I love the show. It's one of my favorite shows actually ever on Broadway.
Yes.
Not my favorite show that I've ever done. It was a hot mess.
But with Garrett, it's never a hot mess.
Oh, what? Yeah, no, those words never go together.
Those words do not go together. What equation is that?
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm a whole ass mess.
Yeah, but I feel like with those kinds of shows, I feel like Phantom of the Opera is another one of those shows you have to see multiple times to get. I really loved it. I recently saw it.
I love Once on This Island.
Oh, what a great show. Yes.
Period.
I also love Jekyll and Hyde. That's probably one of my favorite
shows.
I never saw it, but I read the book.
Yeah, so...
Jekyll and Hyde is good no matter what you do. Like, read it, see it, whatever. It's just a great storyline and a great plot.
Agreed. It's definitely a beautiful storyline.
Like, no matter what happens, it's great no matter what.
But with that, how do you think acting, like becoming an actor, has changed your view of, like, do you think your acting growing up changed the way you're living in California now? Has it changed anything or?
Definitely. I mean, a little bit here and there. I feel though, since I am an actor, I have found like a really tight community of people. And the funny thing is, like, when you go in for film auditions, they want the same look for each character. So when you go into audition for one show, every guy in that room looks like you.
It's the same.
When you go into another room, it's the same guys, because they just want the same look. So you build a tight community of friends and stuff. And like, I feel LA, as much as it is very toxic, it has a very welcoming spirit.
The amount of scandals that I find on YouTube, besides the one that I was just in, good God. But yes.
Alex.
Yeah.
Drama-free zone.
There are a lot of drama within LA, a lot.
We are actors. Like,
how a lot of like celebrity sightings, like they happen every day here, but also the main thing is like the celebrities here are also very welcoming. Like, I know I've gone, like, some wild experiences with celebrity meetings and sightings have happened with me where I've become friends with some of them in real life. So
that's crazy. That's cute. Yeah,
it's really cool. LA is just probably one of my favorite places to ever live.
Yes.
Yeah, that really sounds super interesting. So what is the one thing that has definitely a part of, like, the acting and the whole, like, cultural experience, like, what is the hardest thing to do, like, to balance your social life and acting life?
So that's a good question. So I think mainly your social life adapts to acting because it's a fun career choice, but also the people you surround yourself. So I used to be friends with people who wanted to be doctors, nurses, etc. But now all I'm friends with is actors. So so your social life becomes like work becomes your social life. You do self-tapes with your friends and you read sides with your friends and you go to rehearsal with your friends and it just becomes part of your life. You don't really have much of a life anymore. And a lot of times on set, a lot of the times you're sitting on set for about 14 plus hours doing nothing for 5 seconds of footage. So you don't really have much of a life, but it's all worth it at the end of the day, honestly.
Have you auditioned for any movies?
I have, actually. So I've auditioned for some feature films. I haven't gotten any callbacks for those, but I have auditioned for some Netflix originals, and I've gotten called back for a couple of them. I made it to final callbacks for one that's coming out soon. I can't say much on the matter, but
yeah,
I did just get news that I will be in a pretty famous reality series coming in up soon, about around this time next year.
Dance Moms?
Yes.
Oh my god. Empty chair. Do a solo.
Oh my god.
Kickflip. Kendall, you're cut.
But my perfect little Kendall.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I found out news 2 days ago that I booked a spot as a contestant in one of the biggest reality series ever. So I'm very nervous.
Hashtag it's Escape the Night, everyone. Spoiler.
No,
it's Escape
no
the Night.
I wish. No.
If only Joey did a fan series. That'd be funny.
I know. I've been rooting for a fans versus favorites. Mm-hmm. But
besides an all-star season, that really ruined everything. But yeah.
Hee-hee.
Big hee.
Yeah.
But like on TV or like on like online, the series?
The series is on television. Okay. It actually just wrapped up its finale yesterday.
Oh.
I think I know what it is.
I can't say I can't say too much on the matter, but I'm actually very, very, very excited because...
Oh my gosh, congratulations. I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much. I submitted my audition not thinking anything of it, and I made it very far.
That's awesome. Well, I hope you win, and I'll root for you.
Thank you.
It's Survivor. So when I have details, definitely Survivor. No, I don't know. I'm just making
When you get more details, let me know, and I will cheer for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hashtag Garrett dies, everyone. That's his spoiler.
No, yeah.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't know, but I'll try to look in to see what it could be, but I don't know.
Yay, how exciting. Yeah.
I heard Netflix auditions are easier to get a better chance, I think.
Right? Yeah, because they're really inclusive and they like to give...
They want people.
They want new people. They want to build stars instead of reusing.
They want people for their shitty movies that they make.
Yes.
Yeah, because the people who are big stars know that they don't want the fame from the shitty movies.
Exactly. Uh-huh, some of the movies stars. Are very, very good, though. Some of them, I will say, some of the Netflix originals can be incredible.
I don't know how they got Joey King to do that movie. Or what's her face? Right? Who was the one in the movie with Kissing Booth? Is that...
Oh, I don't know. I've never seen it.
Oh, the white kid?
Who's the girl? No, oh, who's the girl?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Anyways, but I don't know. That actress, I've definitely seen her before. I don't know how they got her to do it. Fantastic.
In the trailer, yes. She's been in a lot. But yeah, Netflix is a lot more inclusive when it comes to giving others a chance, which I really, really like. Everybody at my callback for the show I was going to be on, I'd never seen their faces before. So
that's great, though.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, because you were talking about Netflix, now I just remembered. I remember when they put out news for the Netflix adaptation for 13, the musical movie that they're currently.
No way. Is that a thing?
Yeah. But yeah. Here's the thing. I was actually ready. I remember the day I was coming home and I was going to get ready to audition for it, you know, record it, sound disgusting, because that's literally what I hate myself singing.
I get that.
Hey. Ariana Grande. Who? Haha. Laugh funny. But no.
Haha. Laugh. I sing.
Apparently, after I made the video, I told my mom about it. She was like, you have to pay to, like, what's it?
Submit it.
Not that, but it was, like, for backstage.com. You have to, like, pay for, like, this subscription or whatnot so that you get, like daily, like, news things or whatnot for, like, when you
should.
And I was like, okay, we can do it, but they just cancel if I get any news back. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
But then she was like, nah.
Oh.
And I was like, I was almost about to start crying because my mom was about to be like, we'll talk to your dad about this. Like, how about we don't?
Aww.
Because that's just going to turn into a bigger lecture and then more stress for me because I already got another lecture from you guys. So great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. That's not the most fun.
The thing was, they were going to film in New York and Toronto, two places that I've been to. So.
Yeah.
Two.
Okay, two places that are close to me. Sorry, let me reiterate myself. Like, freaking what?
No, that's awesome. I had no idea they were in pre-production for 13 the musical.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, I never seen it, but I've heard of it.
It's definitely a cute show, and it starred Liz Gillies and Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande. Lose the pink. Yeah. Hair. Lose the red hair.
Yeah, so
thank God.
That was one of the first shows that I actually ever saw when I was getting into theater.
Oh, my God, wow. That's
Holy
awesome.
Crap.
My first ever Broadway show was Beauty and the Beast. I still have the DVD from when I bought it.
Like, aww. The original one?
Like, the one on Broadway.
Really?
Didn't that close 2003.
Oh, God.
I was about to be like, I thought that closed earlier.
Yeah.
I know, like, I was one or two, I was like 2 or 3 years old when I saw it.
Aww.
I remember being like growing up and going to New York City sometimes when we would go just to like this, you know, go see like the ball. Let's go to what's weird is that we went to New York more often when I was younger than we do now because we're busy.
Yeah, I feel
but,
like that's
what was I think the last time I went to New York was when I went to see Once on This Island, I think.
A great show. I've actually never
got to see, yeah, I got to see it before Lea Salonga got left for because before she had to go. So I got to meet the queen. But and I think the time before that I went to see Cats before it closed, the revival, and right before that, that's when I met Gabby Hanna.
Oh,
look torn. I look gross in my picture, but
what a queen!
What a freaking queen! She complimented my hair when I first met her. Like she was like, "Oh my God, I love your hair!" And I was like shaking. I was like, "I've been a fan of you for like a while, ever since you started on Escape the Night." But like seeing you, it's weird. Okay, the thing is, being obsessed with a certain celebrity for a while and then getting to see them face to face is so weird.
It's like, so different.
Such a weird feeling, and you're like, "Oh my God, this is real. This is what they actually are."
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird seeing full life or whatever, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Imagine Garrett going on Broadway. That's funny.
I would
Fingers crossed. One day, maybe. Maybe.
Rachel Berry. Rachel Berry stands. Where are you at?
Oh my goodness.
But yeah. Anything else? Like any last questions, Ariana? I'm trying to figure out
what that was.
Oh, I don't know.
Ariana, I don't know.
Ari, do you have any other questions you want to ask? Or?
Oh. No, I honestly thought that like Garrett like has expressed the whole like California / actor / like dream life that everybody wants so well. And I'm so happy that you're having so much success for it, because I know it's really hard for a lot of people that are looking to go into the acting industry to find that success. And I just want you to give anybody advice out there that is struggling and is looking to give up, because I think that's something that you are very strong in. And
honestly, every actor, whether it's Meryl Streep or me, a tiny nobody, I think we all go through that little phase of like just wanting to give up. And the thing is like there's, say you don't get a role, there's always a role out there for you. You just have to keep auditioning, and one day you will strike that role that is meant for
definitely.
You. Whether you can sing, whether you can't sing. There are roles meant for people who literally are supposed to be bad singers, and there are roles meant for people who can like belt at the top of their lungs. Like there's roles for literally every single type of person.
And you don't and know. You just don't you know what's going to happen. I'm disgusting.
No. Me too, though.
I'll be cast as a garbage can.
Giving up.
Tree number 5, because I'm 5'7".
Giving up literally just limits yourself, and I just don't think you should ever do that. I think why put a cap on your life? When you can just
why stop it now when you can have a better chance that you don't even know. It's like you don't even realize what's ahead of you. You just like it's like your conscience, everything that's been going on, like it's almost like your regrets and your what is it, like not failures but like okay, your chances that you've given up are coming back to you being like, hey, we're about to bite you in the ass, because guess what, there's something ahead of you that you don't even know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
everything does happen for a reason. I think giving up is something that you should just never do, because if I gave up, I wouldn't be, you know, in the situation.
In California, or
I think the coronavirus should just give up, because I don't know where it's going at this point.
Oh. Yeah, like she's persevered to the point where it makes me want to punch her in the face.
Does she even have a job? Is she like, does she have like a full time coronavirus? Does she have like a full time job or? Like...
Oh my goodness!
No, this is her full time job, bothering and ruining people's lives, and that's on period. Well, thank you, Garrett, so much for having this talk.
Yes.
I really appreciated it. No, like, this was really cool, and I really liked the fact that you were, like, very open about the whole actor life and how it is and how it's supposed to be. And I think, like, everybody out there that's really struggling with being an actor or...
Or living like, on your own.
Yes, and everything in general. Like, anybody from Cali out there that knows you, let them know, you know? And I want to like spread positivity to all actors out there, whether you're thriving and at your peak, or if you're struggling and just starting out, or even somebody that's in middle school and trying to find themselves, just do it. It's a fun experience and have fun with it. Because
never doubt yourself, because you never know. Maybe you are a good actor. Like you never, like I hate,
exactly.
when, I hate when people say that in theater, they're like, I'm not good. I'm like, if you say that one more
shut time, up. I'm going like, to beat you with a shoe, please.
I was absolutely horrendous about 2 years ago, and now I've grown a lot. Not the best.
Same. But no one's the best actor. There's no such thing as like you're the perfect actor. Everyone is still growing.
You can't
I'm not
give
a perfect
up.
Actor. Like that's why I want to.
Everybody learns every day. Exactly. Everybody has to learn every day, and there's no such thing as the perfect person and the perfect actor. I mean, unless you're Harry Styles, but that's different.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this was an awesome talk. And guys, don't forget to turn the notification bell whenever we post a new episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.